Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, and this is August Francis, Chancellor of Remnant Church Bible Institute, and with me today is Dean of Studies and my brother and friend, Dr. William Mackey, and we actually are continuing a broadcast that we started on the Tell Them Outreach broadcast this morning, dealing with revival. And matter of fact, we've called this segment the Remnant Church Revival. And Bishop Mackey, Dr. William K. Mackey went to Wales, and you can get the basis of some of the things that were being said on the other broadcast. We're posting those. Dr. Mackey, what do you see happening in the area of Wales, and how can this affect the rest of the world? Definitely, how can it affect Scotland and the rest of the world?
Well, I'm thinking back to the vision that Jean Darnell had in 67, and she spoke of revival in Scotland, Wales, and Ireland before it hit England. Being Scottish, that doesn't bother me, the rivalry between us. But the effect, well, really, the church wasn't listening at the beginning of the last century. And so the only way the Lord could wake folk up was to take an African-American preacher that was uneducated and use him and speak through him. And it's thanks to William Seymour and others who obeyed what the Lord was saying that we now have the Pentecostal church. The problem
yes.
is that because they don't stay tuned, if you get to the point where, well, I'm okay now because I've got a church, I've got a big congregation, I can just keep going. No, we need to regularly be in touch with what the Holy Spirit's saying. Not just what the Bible says, but we've got to, as I said in the last broadcast, if we hear a preacher saying something, we've got to test it. If they said it, is it in the Bible? If it's not in the Bible, then what do you do with it? You pray and you ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit. So what's happening in Wales, to bring in the reference to William Seymour, the place they meet in Wales, I don't mean to be offensive, you speak about a one-horse town. I couldn't even get a taxi.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is such a small place. But if I've picked it up correctly, the place to meet at's not just a church. It's a refuge. They have caravans, what you guys would call trailers. They got a trailer park
yeah.
at the back. So people can come here on vacation. It's better if they have their own car. And I see the Lord moving in a small place because it has to be somewhere small, because the big places aren't interested anymore. It would bring them out with their comfort zone. Now, Pastor David Owen, who is the senior pastor in the Rehoboth Revival Mission UK, as I said, he lives just outside Swansea, which is in South Wales. And this place we went to, Penman Mawr, is right up on the north coast of Wales. Now, it took me less than 6 hours to get from my house to the hotel. David and I left our respective accommodations at the same time on Monday. I got back to Scotland. Now, he stays in Wales. I got back to Scotland at 5 p.m. Monday night. And I was so drained and exhausted because of the journey and the experience after the church service that I won't go into, because it had nothing to do with the service. I was in bed for 10 to 9 on Monday night. David still hadn't got home.
My goodness.
Yep. He told me to get to one of the other pastors that he stays with in North Wales, and he stays in a different town, which by train's about 9 minutes, but by car it's about 15, 20 minutes from where this other pastor lives to the church that you are using. David has to leave home at 10 past 6 on a Saturday morning to get to this other pastor's house in North Wales by 8 o'clock the same night. So he's travelling effectively 14 hours. I could travel down, come back and travel back again in the time it takes him to go one way.
My goodness.
Just shows you how remote this place is. But I believe that the Lord has to use someone like David and the other pastors who are supporting him in this, because the big churches don't want to know. They've got their comfort zone. And as you know, because I've mentioned a few churches I've attended with my family, seeker-friendly is the big thing here in Scotland. You say what you think you want to hear, so you get more bums on seats, and of course more bums on seats means more dollars in the offering.
Right, right.
And then of course there's a couple of places I know here in Edinburgh. You not only have the offering, now it's supposed to be goodwill offering and tithes, that's how they describe it. But then when they have the time of ministry, and for those who don't understand, this is where we call people forward who need a touch from the Lord. It could be they just want to be baptized in Holy Spirit. They may be anxious about something. Or maybe they've got an illness and their faith tells them to come forward and get prayer for healing. Well, at least two places I know in Edinburgh, yes, you can come forward and get prayed for healing. Or that big house you want, or that bigger car you want. But then the offering bucket comes round again. And I do mean a bucket. It's about the size of the waste bin you would have at your office desk.
My goodness.
And if you don't put anything in, you don't get prayed for. So if you have no more money, you have to ask someone to give you money so that you can... They're blessing you by giving you the money, and they're being blessed because you're getting prayer now. And one of the pastors here, an African... He stated quite categorically, you don't get nothing for nothing. And that is not the way the Holy Spirit operates. So back to North Wales. I believe it has to be such a place, a small place that nobody knows of, because when it has the proper impact and Wales catches fire, folk are going to be looking and saying, where? Not because of it's in Wales, but the small town it started in. And it's nothing to do with the town that they're meeting in. It's to do with the faith that the people attending have. It's to do with their obedience to the word of God. And that's the crux of the matter, the obedience to the word of God. Not rewriting it because you think it might offend someone. I saw on Facebook this morning a NASCAR legend stood up and told Barack Obama at a breakfast meeting, if you don't have God, you're going to hell. Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think, in the conversation dealing with revival, I was kind of expecting to hear what we hear in general, when we say revival, people are, getting healed and falling under the power of God and so on and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with the manifestations of the Spirit, but I think what we have learned to accept are the theatrics of some of the so-called revival, or at least they started off as revivals and ended up being something else. I, we had one here in North America. It wasn't in the United States, but it was in North America, where it started out at a church near, or a meeting place near an airport, and the people were supposedly the Holy Spirit would come upon these people and they'd start making noises like animals and you know, all this kind of stuff, and we called that revival. Then there was a gentleman who had a revival going, and they were talking about the fact that an angel was telling him what to do, and most of his direction was coming from an angel rather than the Holy Spirit. And he was describing the angel as this beautiful woman and so on and so forth, and things that were totally unscriptural. And when you say revival, you think, you know, theatrics. Unfortunately, that's what it's come to today. But what I'm understanding, and the point I'm getting to, is that what I believe the Lord had revealed to me, in my personal understanding, was that this revival was exactly that, to bring life back into the people of God so that they could go out and do the work of the ministry, such as we emphasize in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And is that what you believe is going on there, that Pastor Owen and those that are working with him are ministering for the purpose of, or what the Holy Spirit is doing, is raising up a remnant that will be fired up, so to speak, to do what the Lord has called them to do? Is that what you?
That's exactly what I see happening. Now, there was a Welsh revival in the early 1900s, pardon me, and I don't really know much about it, but the last revival we had in Scotland was in Lewis, as you know, 1949. A guest speaker was asked to come and preach for 10 days, and the Lord had him stay there for 3 years. Now, that's revival.
Yes.
But what happened was, before he'd even preached, he'd been invited to go to an evening prayer meeting at the church, where the church run by the minister that asked him. And he went to the prayer meeting. Now, the prayer meeting finished at about midnight. And as they were leaving the hall, there was like a mini earthquake. And one of the men there said, "God has just stepped down from heaven." And before they could get back to the minister's house, they were finding people just kneeling in the roadside, weeping. They didn't know what had happened. Now, this had nothing to do with theatrics. It was men and women of God getting together and praying. Now, revival won't happen without prayer. But before you can have revival, you need the prayer. The prayer allows the Holy Spirit to show you things that may be wrong in your life or wrong in things around you. So that brings repentance.
Yeah.
After you've got repentance, yeah, you need the church to repent, because unless the church repents, we're not going to have revival. And
that's,
then you have
2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah, and then you've got the repentance, you've got the regeneration, if you will, or the renewal in the spirit, where you're right with God. Then you have revival. And Pastor David and his colleagues, they've been doing this for a while. And I spoke to him before the first broadcast, and because, as you know, I recorded his sermon on my iPad. And I asked him if he'd any other broadcasts, and he said, mostly MP3s. And I said, fine, because if he sends them to us, I can broadcast them on my Blog Talk radio show, and then they're preserved in the archives for anyone to go back and listen to at any time. But sadly, the churches he's been preaching in are a bit like the Presbyterian churches here in Scotland. You're not allowed to preach for more than 15 minutes. The church service starts as the clock strikes 11, and the church service finishes as the clock strikes 12. So it's all over and done with in an hour.
My goodness.
It's what they call a Presbyterian sandwich. You start with a prayer, then a hymn, then a prayer, then a hymn. Then there's the offering, whilst they're singing a hymn. There's a prayer for the offering. The preacher, be it the resident one or the guest one, preaches for 15 minutes. Then there's a prayer, then there's a hymn, then there's a benediction, then you go home.
Wow. All planned out.
All planned out. Now, I cannot find that in the Bible. I mean, I've been to Jimmy Swaggart camp meetings where the Sunday night service is scheduled to finish about an hour and a half after it started. But there was one night, the Holy Spirit just fell, and Jimmy Swaggart says, those of you who are staying for the meal over in the kitchen, it's going to be fine, but we are not leaving here till the Holy Spirit says so. And that was not entertainment.
Yep.
That is not entertainment. I don't know how long the Lord's going to take to get the rest of Wales to catch fire, but I know the spark has started. And that's the main thing.
I mean, yes.
Going back to the Lewis Revival, that was two old ladies. One was 89, one was 90. One was blind, one was deaf. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. They even told their local minister there was going to be a guest preacher. The minister came back and said, I'm sorry, I've spoken to him. He's preaching in London. No, he's not. He's going to be here on Friday. The Holy Spirit said so. And he turned up on Friday because there was a fault at the other venue and he couldn't go for that conference.
Wow.
That's not theatrical. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You shouldn't go to church to be entertained. But you should feel better about yourself. You should be happier coming out of church than when you went in.
I there are so many things that we have taken for granted and that we expect, I guess you can say, in what we call church today. One of the things that has to be understood by us is that when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Number one, he didn't immediately go out and get lumber and a hammer and nails and begin building a building. He was talking about people.
That's right.
There's something happened, and I posted a little information about it on our prayer site on Facebook, Jesus is Lord over the Golden Triangle. But I drove past, I've done a number of things in my lifetime as far as work is concerned, and one was I served as a sales rep for an advertising agency and of sorts, and I went to this particular church, Christian church, and talked to them about getting out there so people knew that they were there. I mean, nobody, they were sitting there, but it was a relatively new congregation that had taken over a building, and the pastor, we sat and we talked for a while, and he talked about the fact that they were remodeling this and they were, doing this and were spending all this money on that, and they really didn't have the money to do anything to basically let people know that they were there because they were spending their money remodeling the building. Now,
yeah.
Now get this. One is investing in telling people that you're there and you're available to them, and the other, they tell me that they're, fixing the building. They're making the building look pretty. They're changing the offices and the sanctuary, and they spent money on this and spent money on that. The other day, I was driving in that neighborhood, and that building has been sold to an Islamic group. A building where for years, I mean, I've been in Beaumont area for 30 years this year, and that building has always been a Christian church. I passed there a couple of weeks ago, and it is now in the hands of an Islamic group. And the thing that bothered me about that was they spent all their money remodeling the building and spent nothing trying to reach people. And they had to sell their building to whoever would buy it. And that is the state of a lot of ministry today. They are so busy using the money to pay for decorations, but they spend very little on reaching people with the gospel. And that's where revival needs to come in.
You remember the year that the Berlin Wall came down?
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, that year, apparently, Muslims spent more money converting the now unified Germany than the whole of Christianity spent globally.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
I know churches that they don't advertise. They're there, they've got a big sign outside, and they do their sermon on a Sunday. They might do two sermons. Sadly, not everybody does. And then through the week, you'll have the sewing bee. You'll have the crib team. They play cards on a Tuesday. They run Little League on a Saturday. They've got indoor bowling on a Thursday. Church, to me, should be a hospital for sinners, not a social club for believers.
Yes. Yes. How in the world did Jesus manage to put together a group of people who, for the most part, knew nothing about what we call church, and for centuries they were more effective than we are? They had nothing. They didn't even have a Bible to tuck under their arm. And here we are with cars and Bibles, not only on paper, but we've got them on our iPads, on our iPhones, on our Android phones, on our tablets, and we have cars to get back and forth, and we have planes to go all over the world, and yet we are only, well, not only, but for the most part, we're just feeding each other. We're looking at people who are already Christians and trying to figure out how to move them from the church that they're presently attending, the group that they're presently meeting with. How can we get them over to meet with us?
You know, the problem is you don't have the same entertainment schedule as their church does.
Aha.
Now,
yes.
Going back to North Wales, you mentioned about that church that spent its money on redecoration, and now it's been sold to Muslims. They used their money incorrectly. But what Pastor David and his colleagues and, I mean, these people are coming from all over different parts of Wales to get to this small town. They don't live locally. They are traveling hundreds of miles in some cases, 397 each way in my case, just to be there for that one evening service a month. They're hoping to make it two. But I'll tell you this, the spark has been set. The fire has started. But once that Holy Spirit fire catches, you won't need to advertise it, because the people coming out of the building will draw others in, because they will see such a dramatic change in them, they want a piece of the action.
Yes, yes.
But don't expect big, flouncy shows that the likes of Hillsong put on. I saw a video on YouTube where Hillsong sent their praise and worship team over to London, and the guys were dressed in the Scots Guards uniform, the red tunics, the black pants, and the bearskins. But they were dancing around with their tunics wide open and bare-chested. Now, I was offended for two reasons. That, to me, isn't how praise and worship should be done. I was offended for the second reason, because I was a corpsman attached to the Scots Guards for 2.5 years, and it really angered me that they came over here and they're belittling the dress code of the regiment, and they feel that by prancing about the stage half-naked, this is giving praise to the God, to the Lord, and it's not.
Wow. Now, in fact, that leans toward paganism.
Yes. It's just a step away from going back to when we lived in caves and hit people over the head with clubs and beat around big drums to scare the wild beasts away at night.
but this is what we've, you know, whenever, before I say that, the thing that needs to happen, and that's what you're saying, that's what Pastor Owen is saying, if you want to be able to see the Lord move, you've got to get closer to the Lord. You've got to find out what His Word says and stop the activity of the flesh to try to drum up the Spirit. You can't create a move of the Spirit by heating up the flesh, by getting the flesh excited. And I guess that's what you're saying. Get back to the Word.
Yes, basically. But far too many people who go to church buildings who believe they're doing right, I mean, they may honestly, truly be born again. But I'm not as much on fire now as I was when I first got saved. But I'm getting back to that point, but it's because I've had to look inwardly and say, right, what happened since then? Where did I go wrong? So, because that's being shown to me, I say, right, okay, I repent of this, I get back into the Bible, and I pray more often, and I pray with more conviction.
Yes.
Because I didn't like the fact that, I mean, when I was first saved, I mean, I was on fire, and I wanted to do this, that, and the next thing, because you were overly eager to do something. But over the years, other people have thrown fire buckets of water over me or fire blankets over me to smother the flame. Well, the flame hasn't gone out.
Yeah.
I mean,
despite
all the infirmities I have, the devil might want to tell me that I'm finished because of my vision, my mobility, and now the liver problems. But to quote R.W. Shambach, the devil's a liar. I'm not finished. I haven't even started. So I'm feeling like Moses. Because Moses was 80 before he kicked off. Well, I've got 19 years to go. But I'm hoping the Lord will use me before I'm 80.
Amen. Amen to that. That's something that we have to desire. We have to desire Him. We have to desire to be vessels fit for the Master's use. This is what He has called us to do, and what He has called us to be. We have a responsibility to give ourselves to Him, and we're going into a little overtime here on the broadcast, but to these, especially those who listen to Remnant Church Bible Institute as students, especially in our foreign ministries that are using RCBI as their Bible college, so to speak. What do you have to say to these young ministers that are beginning in ministry, Dr. Mackey?
I would encourage them to stay in the Word, stay seeking the Holy Spirit, and not to be put off by other people around them who think they know better. I mean, Pastor Owen has been insulted and ridiculed for what he's doing. You and I have been ridiculed at times and told off at times for what we're doing. Stick with it. God's got a plan for your life. Stick with Him and don't listen to others.
Wow. That's the bottom line. Stick with Him. Listen to what He's saying. Dr. Mackey, thank you for being with us on the broadcast today. This will not be the last time. Matter of fact, you're going to be taking some other trips relatively soon, and there are some things going on, and you're going to be preaching, I think, ministering next month in a home situation.
Yeah, sorry, it's next month. It's the 14th of March.
Yes, and definitely the and I won't go into it because I'm going to let you save that for that time, but the way in which you told me that the Holy Spirit dealt with you about the topic just is a pleasure to me personally, seeing that that is the theme scripture and has been for years for Tell Them Outreach, that area that you're going to be ministering from. And we definitely want to hear about that. And after that message there, we want you to deliver that message here if the Lord tarries. But I thank you for being with us today. We're as they say in the country, plumb out of time. We appreciate the report, and we appreciate the insight of the Holy Spirit through you as to revival. And we will be dealing with this subject again in the near future. And I'll be talking to you off the air in the near future about what the Lord has laid on my heart to do. So we can coincide some broadcast to talk about that. But again, thank you. My blessings to you and your family. And we pray that the Lord will intervene in all of these situations and give you the grace to continue on and to do what the Lord has called you to do. So thank you for being with us today, Dr. Mackey.
Okay, thank you. God bless.
Bless you. And folks, thank you for being with us. And we will hear from you, and you'll hear from us the next time on the Remnant Church Bible Institute broadcast. Thank you for being with us.